times if you got good beer. Here a little tip that I would like to relate.
Here a little tip I'd like to relate.
I got a couple.
It's that time. Gather around the radio. It's time for me and Leaf to do a little fish talk. It's time for a fish report. How you doing, Leaf?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, Depp. Sorry, it took me a few more days to get in this
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this is my favorite time of year, Indian summer. Oh, man, I love this stuff. It's just going great. I've been busy. Obviously, you've been busy.
We kind of busy time.
Missed connections a little bit. But just so you folks know, Leaf and I visit before we get on the mics here and just sort of rehash what's going on, and it sounds like you've had one heck of a great, I don't know, week or so since we've talked anyway.
Yeah,
great time out there.
Yeah, the last like probably 7 or 8 days been from here to the Skagit and Cascade River there
right.
with my friend Thomas, and you know, I had probably worked in spawning tens of thousands, perhaps 100,000 pinks, literally in my day over there at Whatcom Creek. And when I was first going to school for fisheries, and, you know, I had actually never caught one until just now. So I had to get over there because it's an every other year run.
Okay.
And take my crack at it. Of course, found it to be, you know, pretty darn easy because it's like those old stories of being able to walk across the the backs of fish. And, man, it's amazing how many different types of fish that you do run into on that big Skagit and that little Cascade River.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I used to go with my grandpa to go salmon fishing.
Uh-huh.
And we go to places like CQ. And
right.
I remember in CQ, the humpies being so thick
right.
that they would actually flop up in people's boats.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it, like those Asian carp or something.
Yeah, and you can basically, the fishing grounds is just off the main drag there. I mean, you could be in there having breakfast at the cafe
right.
and seeing guys just, you know, a stone's throw
right.
out there and fish jumping all over the place. It's like, come on, Grandpa, let's get going.
Make
let's
it
get
hard
going.
To eat.
yeah, it was exciting times. But so that's interesting that you had never caught these guys before, though you'd been working with them.
Yeah, you know.
What is the life cycle? What's the spawning route for humpies? Where do they go?
Well, they are headed pretty much to the same place as all the rest of them. But it's just odd in that they only come back every other year.
Mm-hmm.
And they typically out-migrate as fry rather than smolt. And they'll be kind of out in the estuaries and feeding and everything
mm-hmm.
there. And I'm not quite as familiar with their life cycle as I am now with the others. But, it just has always kind of struck me on how they just come back every mm-hmm. other year. So you have to kind of make it a priority if you want to get there on those years they're back.
Do they come up the Columbia?
No, they don't. I don't remember what the distance is, but they can't go very far inland.
Okay.
Them and the chum, you know, they seem to just have kind of a really quick, spawning behavior, short lifespan or shelf life, rather, once they get in there. It's time to get in there, get it done, and that's it for them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I remember, too. It's like, get them before they had really been out of salt water very long
right.
at all.
And, you know, we were just... we weren't really there. We would have taken some if they would have been bright, but I was mostly there to see them in that kind of really bizarre, like they get that name, humped out form. And, some apex colors there, you know, right there at the point before they start to get, you know, nasty. And we saw some of those, you know, beautiful textbook versions of those fish. And it's just bizarre how, you know, from their forehead up to the top of those shoulders, it's like a camel's hump.
Yeah.
And it'll be sticking out of the water as they're running up the stream.
Now, what is that? Is that just a buildup of fat for the life that they're going to be facing here in a few days or what?
It's more, I think, in this case, like just a display, like a peacock, you know.
Oh.
Like, look how big my hump is, you know, kind of move out my way, check this hump out, baby, you know.
Uh-huh.
And because I don't know if it's the size of the hump or just the veracity of that fish, but those guys seem to definitely be getting most of the work done, and it was really cool to, you know, just see so many different fish occupying and taking advantage of substrate so close to one another, but the individual spawning substrates would be just slightly different. Like the pinks had like that little Ripley side channel kind of stuff, and the Kings being a broadcast spawner, they'd be right out there in just the really pretty fast water and laying it down throughout the cobble. They'd be in one place, but just kind of broadcasting from there, and you'd see silvers pull up behind them and start trying to eat those eggs. And mm-hmm. you'd see the kings chase the silvers around. And so
wow.
it was a pretty sure bet if you swung in behind those kings, you'd get anything wanting to eat those eggs. And mm-hmm. So we were using some egg-sucking leeches and hooking everything from Dolly Vardens to...
Really? Dolly Varden?
Finally, my first two Dolly Vardens, the two first fish of the morning for me that day.
Explain what a Dolly Varden is.
Well, it's a close relative of bull trout, and that's what's led people to call it a bull trout or bull mm-hmm. trout Dolly Vardens
mm-hmm.
In so many cases. But the Skagit is the southernmost range of the Dolly Varden, and you know it's definitely different. You know, it looks different. It's just like I've read. It's kind of smaller and slighter in the features, and doesn't it all act like a bull trout in the way that I saw them surfacing in the big back eddies just almost nonstop after bugs. I mean, I was almost tempted just to throw out my trout bugs, you know, and start doing some dry fly over there.
Wow.
I think if I was there longer,
really not like bull trout then.
Yeah, you know, just looking up, not mm-hmm. and not for another fish. Mm-hmm. And just very different in that regard, I guess.
You know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I seem to remember also fishing in Ponderay and mm-hmm. and going into the bait shop and seeing up on the wall Dolly Varden
right
caught there in that lake. Is that a misnomer or
it could have been planted, you know? Okay. If I look back in these stocking reports back in like the 40s and 50s mm-hmm. even in our lakes up here, I see a lot of fish listed as Dolly Vardens planted mm-hmm. into those lakes. Dolly okay. Vardens, brown trout,
yeah, okay,
golden trout. And so they may have been working with some Dolly Vardens truly from the other side or something.
Well, these were definitely old mounts. I mean, they were definitely from right. the 40s probably, at least.
You know, one thing I really noticed in their coloring was that these guys have got those big beautiful peach spots mm-hmm. like we sometimes see on the bullies, as well as some kind of white ones. And the back, the shoulders, was the biggest difference. There wasn't like that worm-like lines, the vermiculation mm-hmm. that you would see mm-hmm. on the brook trout and the bull trout sometimes. Mm-hmm. It was spots all the way up and over the shoulders.
Oh, wow.
And so that was definitely different. I've never seen that coloration. And even just the facial and body shape of these fish was just, you know, not quite as aggressive, a little more refined, not quite as like alligator-like.
Okay. Somewhere in between a bull trout.
Right. And,
okay.
and like a brook trout almost, but paler, much paler, kind of gray with white and peach spots.
Well, really wow.
pretty. Cool little fish.
The trip out of the valley was worth it.
Oh, it was great. Had a great time with my buddy. And, you know, we usually do as long as he stays out of trouble. Oh, Tomas. Take a stab at you
ooh,
there, buddy.
I hope he's not listening.
But, you know, and then came back and was just super happy to get back on the river here and see, like we were talking mm-hmm. about, that variety of bugs is just amazing right now.
Yeah, now that's another thing that folks didn't hear before we got on the air. Leaf is talking about bugs almost the way he talks about fish. He's how pretty they are. And
I'm shedding marabou as we talk.
Yeah, here. I was going to say, you need to vacuum you off. But bugs, obviously, I mean, what you're doing tying flies is you're mimicking bugs, or you're going after the
right.
the stimulating part of actual living creatures. That's kind of what the fish are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's only normal that you learn more and more about their lifestyle and what's going on. And it's
mm-hmm.
so entomology, I guess,
yeah.
is kind of your thing now, too.
You know, and I'm very thankful to have learned a lot from, you know, friends like my buddy Bob up at the National Hatchery and, you know, others that I can just kind of ask questions about these. You know, I usually shoot him like, oh, it's this size, this time of the day,
mm-hmm.
This color. And he's pretty good about telling me what it is. And now over the years, I've started to kind of, you know, I need to probably write it down. Then it wouldn't have to be like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for that. And I just kind of see it coming a little more. But I usually do with those key ones, like we're talking about the golden stones and the October caddis. But.
Well, and you see them coming off the water, too.
Right.
I mean, you see their what
mm-hmm.
part of their life cycle they're doing today. And
I was still surprised, though. You know, I still forgot about the drakes, you know, and the little yellow sallies, the little small mm-hmm. stones being such a major factor at this time of the year. So it's been fun to be working some of those smaller bugs for the bigger fish. I mean, mm-hmm. and they're really pretty just to watch. Like we were talking about that yellow sally, man. Mm-hmm. It looks like... you know, it's kind of amber shape. You see the sun gleaming right through it, like a little bit of stained glass flying through mm-hmm. the air. And as well, there were like so many midges coming off. You could feel them hitting the side of your face mm-hmm. as they were getting blown in the wind. And, you know, the fish were absolutely gorging on stuff. But mm-hmm. you kind of got to start to get it right now, what they're eating.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they'll snub you if that's not what they're on.
Okay. So even though, because I often think of it when there's a big hatch going on, they get a little bit less discriminate, but you still got to be doing it.
In some ways.
But you got to be doing it right.
Right.
Because they're shopping for one particular
right.
thing.
They'll go crazy and put themselves out in a spot where they wouldn't usually for that exact morsel of food like they want. And
okay.
Like we've been talking about, I've been working that Golden Stone a lot, and now we should start to slide into using that October caddis a little bit more mm-hmm. as we go along here in the stones wane. But then I, you know, like I was saying, almost forgot there to be using my my Yellow Sallies and my Drakes, and I kind of got snubbed by that big fish I was telling you about mm-hmm. Using my Golden Stone. Went back over it a short time later with that little Yellow Sally, and it just absolutely crushed my little size 16
so that's what
Yellow
he was,
Sally.
And that's what he was looking for.
Yeah, and it was a great time trying mm-hmm. to land that fish
yeah.
on that bug. And you know, like we were saying, the water temps are back down to where they're going to have more fight, and they can give a little better fight without getting so exhausted. But, you know, as always, don't just sit there and stare at it forever. Once you can get that nose up safely and mm-hmm. not damage its lip, get it in the net.
Mm-hmm.
And after doing so, I learned that I'd almost straightened that fly.
Almost lost him.
Yeah. So it's, you know, those are the type of stories, or, you know, just the little hooks on your hat that
oh,
have
yeah.
a story behind them.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's part of the fun to get a bigger fish on a smaller hook. I mean,
yeah.
it's a little bit like, you know, fishing for shark from a surfboard
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, those crazy kayaker guys.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
you can see the challenge of it. But
absolutely.
Yeah, and so that's, you know, I wanted to ask you that. I was thinking about this earlier. Is a lot of the things I choose to do, they're a little bit, you know, putting bread on the table.
Uh-huh.
But more than that, it's mental health. I'm doing this because I enjoy doing this. What is it that you really like about what you do? I'm just talking about
yeah.
fishing here.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, you know,
the most enjoyable parts.
That's you kind of really struck right on it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is my form of therapy to be out there on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if everybody had a way that they could just kind of take some portion of, you know, maybe not each day, but a few days a week to
mm-hmm.
just kind of be able to get everything else out of your mind and, you know, focus on your priorities and what's really important. In the meantime, yeah, maybe getting something done too
mm-hmm.
a little bit.
Maybe,
then,
yeah.
then that's the way to go. And that's definitely what it
mm-hmm.
is for me. You know, sometimes I can have a hard time relaxing enough or focusing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, as you know, I can be 100 different places at once. And,
yeah,
it helps me slow down and it helps me to relax a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. And it's, you know, maybe there's one little thread that runs through no matter what the activity is that you're so into it, you're focused on it, you can let whatever it is that's maybe been hassling you throughout
mm-hmm.
the day fade into the past. But time stops.
Yep.
And that seems to be something that when you look back and you go, you know what, I was completely unaware of time. And that puts your mind at a special place. And I don't know what is so therapeutic about that, but it sure is.
Well, and we were talking about being rich, right? And value. I think if you can find those
yeah.
moments and really, if they're good for you and they help you in that way, that's true value right
yeah.
there. And
yeah.
you're a rich person if you live in a place like this where you can have so many of those
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah, good point. Good point. So I'm guessing that there may be a few people who don't know what the heck we're talking about
yeah.
when we're talking. And I'll admit to you, when I let Leaf just go fish talk on us, even I have a hard time following sometimes. But regardless, it can be fun to go out there. And probably the way to go out there, if it does seem like it's all Greek to you, go with a guide.
Hey,
Leaf, how did
yeah.
they get hold of you, man?
Just if you'd like to give me a call, it's 509-429-7298. You can check out our blog and our podcast at Fly Fishers Pro Shop, and you can fire me off an email at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com, and I'll help you get out there, get your fish on, too.
If you got good bait, I'm going fishing. My mama going fishing. Baby going fishing, too.